Live from the KSRM studios on K Beach Road, KSRM 920 AM and 92.5 FM presents Decision 2022. Tonight, we feature the candidates for Borough Assembly, District 4 for Soldotna. You'll hear their opinions on the issues that matter to you. And now, here's your host for tonight's forum, Anthony Moore.
And a good evening and welcome back to KSRM. It is about 7 past 5 on a Thursday evening, and now we focus on the race for Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly District 4 in Soldotna. A couple quick reminders. We're going to go over the directions of this candidate forum momentarily. Coming up on Tuesday is the municipal election. You can go and vote early, or you can just wait until Tuesday to go and vote. But obviously, these people are running to represent you, so go out and vote. This is the race focusing on District 4 Assembly in Soldotna. We have incumbent Tyson Cox, and we have challenger Donald Boston. Let's go over the directions of this, and then we'll do formal introductions. Two-minute opening statement, followed by a Q&A portion. Candidates will have 90 seconds to respond to each question. And as I said off air, as we get closer to 6 p.m., I might amend that. I might shorten that just so we can back time accordingly to the top of the hour. But you'll have a maximum time of 90 seconds to respond to each question. I try to be lenient, but don't go over 90 seconds. I'm going to alternate asking each questions first, and the forum is going to be focusing on issues that impact our area, our state, and obviously in this particular race, the Kenai Peninsula Borough. So I ask that you respect the format of the forum, answer questions accordingly, avoid personal attacks on the opposing candidates, and last but certainly not least, each candidate's going to be given a minute close at the end of the hour. And like I had reiterated at the beginning of last hour, we are not taking phone calls for this race. And also for the benefit of the listening audience and for those in studio, we're going to upload this on the podcast portion, as well as also a subsequent web post covering this on RadioKenai.com that you'll be able to go back and listen to. That being said, let's go right into our two-minute opening statement. Let's start with incumbent Tyson Cox. Good evening, sir.
Hello. Thank you for having us tonight. Yes, my name is Tyson Cox. I am the incumbent. I've been on the assembly for the last 3 years. Before that, I was on the city council for 4 years, and then I've also been on Board of Equalization for either 4 or 5 years. I can't quite remember. And then just about me a little bit is I am very committed to the area. I have the experience to do the job, and I was looking at some of my materials from the last time I ran, and the things I support are the same. I support promoting responsible education funding. I also support balancing reduced spending and desired quality of life, and I also support encouraging local industry development. And these are all things that are important to our borough to continue to grow in the way that we have and to be prosperous and to economically be better off than we were the day before. And that's kind of what we're aiming for at this, is to be a little bit better than we were the day before. I promise to be transparent. You are welcome to give me a call anytime. I will tell you my number now, and I'll tell you again at the end. It's 907-252-4814. I am an assembly member who does answer their phone, and we will have a long conversation about whatever it is that you would like to talk about. And with that, I also say that I am a member of the community. I have a real estate business that we've had for 16 years. My wife has taught at Soldotna High School for 18 years. We have 3 kids going through the education system. One is now in Butte, Montana, going to Montana Tech. Another is a senior at Sohi, and we have an 8th grader. Thank you.
2 minutes for your opening statement, Mr. Donald Boston. Good evening, sir.
Thanks for having me. My name's Donald Boston. I own Boston's Auto Subaru Repair Shop just right outside of Soldotna and Ridgeway. I've been in business here for over 20 years. I've been in Alaska for nearly 5 decades. I'm an Army veteran. I have been working on Subarus for a lot of years. I've been in business for myself for over 30 years. And I was asked to do this from some very, very good people that wanted me to represent them. And I believe that over the years that I've been here, I would be a good representative for the people in my community of Soldotna, which is where I live at. I have two two children. They were both born in the A&S Hospital in Anchorage, and I mean the old one. It's not there anymore, so that's how long I've been here. And so this is our last time on a radio until October 4th, so make sure you get out and vote, and let's dance.
Let's get into some of the issues pertaining the Kenai Peninsula borough. So we'll start with Tyson Cox on this question here. It's been discussed and it's been debated, and in nearly every public comment during the assembly meetings for the past, I don't know, couple of months have been focused almost exclusively on this. And that is zoning and the permitting process regarding gravel pits and gravel pit owners. So 90 seconds, Tyson Cox, your position on that, please.
Yes, thank you for the question. It is a very tough question, and position is tough because we have been working on this for about 6 months. It's something that we've spent a lot of time on, and going into this next few months, I will be very prepared to have some answers because we've been studying it for so long. And so the real question is how do we end up balancing that? We have to balance between the particulars for homeowners and balance that between what the gravel pit owners would want as well, because the reality is we need gravel. And we need to make sure that we're financially able to do that, and so that we have the product available for folks at a reasonable price so that they can have gravel, we can put in roads, new homes, and develop our areas. Now, with that being said, we also have to have safety and safety concerns, and that has to do with things like dewatering. Dewatering can happen on gravel pits. We've had a situation recently on Big Eddy where there was some flooding. These are all things that we need to look at and make sure that we're protecting the homeowners as well as allowing gravel pit owners to utilize their pits so some of these old pits, I'm hoping that we can utilize them even more than we have so that we're not making new pits. And some of that means possibly going into part of the groundwater and being able to then test. And it just costs a little bit to test, but if that's worthwhile, hopefully these gravel pit owners will be good with that. So the answer is that we have to make some amendments so that it will be good for all folks.
Same question, Mr. Boston, your position on zoning and the permitting process regarding gravel pit owners. 90 seconds, please.
Well, I was talking to a few people, and a lot of the problem isn't the gravel, it is the water. And so DEC, I think, should have a look at some of that, because when you pump out all that much water, it has to have a place to go. And I think with a little bit of study that a lot of that could be addressed, and a lot of the other problems that some of the people were having was the view. So people don't want to look at an ugly gravel pit. There was down in Anchor Point, I think it was, where part of the problem was somebody up on a hill didn't want to see a gravel pit, but right alongside of it is a automobile shop. And so there are two sides to all of it, and we need to look at it real close. And I really believe that a lot of those issues, if the people get brought together, can the answers could be very, very simple, and it don't have to be as complicated as they're making it sometimes.
Let's move on to some other pressing issues across the Kenai Peninsula borough. We're going to stick with Don Boston for this next question here, and that's the subject of election security. Residents of the Kenai Peninsula borough for the past several years have discussed their concerns and aired their concerns on election security, not just the presidential elections, but down to the local municipal elections. What would you do if elected to address election security, Mr. Boston?
Well, to start with, I would eliminate ranked choice voting. How that ever ended up here, I have no idea. Just the thought of having 5 or 10 days after an election to find out who belongs to what vote and who gets it where, the more hands it has to go to, the longer it's out there. It might be a week before you have the results. It's a horrible, horrible thing tonight, and I have no idea how it got here, and it needs to go. A lot of the adjudicated ballots, the ballot machines, the adjudicated ballots need to be watched by at least 2 poll watchers. And I think for the most part, the elections are secure, but when they're transferring the ballots from one place to another, they need to be tracked well. And I think for the most part, elections are secure. The voting machines, I don't know. A lot of people have distrust in them. I think hand counting would be a better idea, but I'm not sure how realistic that is. But.
Thank you, Mr. Boston. Same question, Tyson Cox. You've been on the receiving end of all of these complaints and the comments from members of the public, and that is election security. You've heard on concerns about this. Residents of the borough have discussed their concerns about it, not just in the presidential election, but down to the local municipal elections. What would you do if you're reelected to address election security?
Thank you for the question. Well, one thing that we cannot do, and I understand Mr. Boston's concerns about it, but we actually have no say over ranked choice voting. Ranked choice voting is not a municipal issue. We only have regular voting in the fact that there is one vote, one person. We do not have ranked choice voting for our municipal elections. I just want to make that very clear. As far as poll watchers, we do actually have that in code that we now have the availability for poll watchers. The rest of the code that we put in over this last year, we actually codified a lot of the procedures that Ms. Blankenship, our clerk, was already doing. And so we want to make sure that our elections have been secure. What we're doing is we're just codifying that, putting it into code so that we have those rules in place so that it's easy for people to see what we are already doing. They've also added a few extra things for transparency. There's been a window included in part of the office area where they count the ballots. That's all been put there so that people can come and watch if they would like to. And I will tell you, Ms. Blankenship and her crew at the clerk's office are very helpful with folks. If you have any questions, please call the borough and ask Ms. Blankenship or any of her staff the questions you may have as far as elections go, because they are aces. And if you've never gone in there to see what goes into that, ask if you can come and watch. It's quite an experience and quite a learning experience as to how much work goes into that. Thank you.
We'll stick with Tyson Cox for this next question here. You no doubt have also heard concerns about this. And borough code may have been followed, but what we've been hearing a lot lately, especially on the local talk shows, is that members of the Kenai Peninsula Borough didn't get an opportunity to voice their opinion in the matter. And we already know your statement on it because you've talked about it ad nauseum. But talk about Mike Navarre being appointed interim Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor. Talk about it. Do you agree with it? Do you object to it? And the concerns that borough residents have on not being able to give a voice in the process thus far.
Thank you for the question. And I do understand the concerns that we went quickly. It is not ideal. The reason we had to go quickly, though, is because we were only given a 30-day window to try and find someone to fit that position. I'm the one that came forward with the motion. The reason I brought it forward the same meeting that Mayor Pierce was giving his resignation was because I had every assumption that it might have been postponed. And if that were the case, we would have had to do it the next meeting, which would still have a mayor in line, an interim mayor, for October. And that was the whole reason for that. And I just want to remind people that everyone on that assembly had four chances to say no. It was unanimously added as a lay down to the agenda. The amended agenda was unanimously approved, all nine members. And then we also had a postponement come up where it was a 2-7 vote, where two members said they would like to postpone, seven did not. And then the final vote was a 7-2 vote to appoint Mike Navarre as the interim mayor. And I will say, in Sedona, I did not hear as many people saying that they didn't like that. What they didn't like was quickly, but I had several people tell me that they did like what we were doing, and they understood that we needed somebody in place for the short term until we can have election, which the election will come sometime toward the end of January.
Same question, Mr. Boston. I'm going to amend it a little bit because you're challenging this race. What's your thoughts on Mike Navarre being appointed interim borough mayor, the process through which the borough went about making this happen? Residents of the public say that the residents of the borough, let me say, say that they didn't have a chance to voice their concern in the matter, even though code may have been followed. So your point of view on that, 90 seconds, sir.
Well, I think, you know, Mike's qualified. I have no doubt about that. And I understand we do need somebody in there until the election. But my complaint with it is what a lot of people have told me, and I'm not sure how accurate it is, but I'm sure if I'm wrong, I'd ask for Tyson to correct me on this. They had a special election or a special assembly meeting for the abuse or whatever that Charlie Pierce was accused of, and they couldn't have another one for something as important as selecting a borough mayor. The Kenai Peninsula or the newspaper Clarion supposedly had the article written the day before. So even if they would have had some kind of public comment, the decision has already been made. And I think that if more people would have known that, everybody would settle in their craw a little better, but it upset a lot of people.
Thank you, Mr. Boss. We're going to stick with you for this next question, and that is spruce bark beetle mitigation. It's been an ongoing problem for years. It's gotten to a point where some municipalities across the borough are opening up their own slash dump sites to help offset the burden of the landfill or transfer facilities. So what would you do to help address this if you're elected?
Well, beetle is a really a bad thing. It's a pandemic in its own way, an epidemic. I see a lot of people in the city where I live at are getting rid of the trees, and the slash is the big problem. There's at the dump I hear is getting overrun with the stuff, and so we need to maybe put in a couple of more spots to bring it the slash and may burn it. I think it's a missed opportunity. Some of this lumber is pretty valuable. We could make chips or something out of it. And it's a shame that it's all going to waste.
Same question, Tyson Cox. And that is a spruce bark beetle mitigation. You obviously helped observe the Community Wildfire Protection Plan with that going before the Assembly and laying out the peninsula's wildfire risk and protection needs. It's been a problem. It's gotten to the point where municipalities are opening up their own sites to help offset the burden of the landfill or transfer facilities. If reelected, what are you going to do to help address this?
Thank you for the question. Just to clarify that we have put forward recently $300,000 toward 5 to 6 sites outside of the cities in the unincorporated borough areas. Kenai did have theirs that they were doing on their own, but I did hear that they recently closed it for lack of use. And so I don't know that municipalities are getting overwhelmed with that at this point. What's nice about that $300,000 is they take their slash and their trees there, and that owner, whoever has that contract and who has the land, they have the ability to do what they would like with that. So if they find a way to use that as a product, they have every ability to do so. Also, we do have the wildfire protection plan. And through lands, they are looking at this next year, having contracts to cut, especially a lot of the lands through Cooper Landing. There's a lot of areas through there that they're going to be cutting the timber and allowing those people to use that timber because they're selling it as a contract. As far as that goes, though, there are a lot of these trees that are not usable. And the reason that we're burning them, because I asked, why don't we chip them? The reason that we're burning them instead is chipping still has the mass. So we still have somewhere to put that mass. If we burn the wood, even though we don't like doing that, it actually creates less to go into the landfill, which can also be a savings. Thank you.
So let's move on here. We'll stick with Tyson Cox for this next question. Let's talk about the Kenai Peninsula Borough and opportunities. What are the borough's biggest opportunities looking down the road, and how is it that we take advantage of them?
Two that I have been discussing in a lot of the forums lately are broadband and the mariculture. And so when we're talking about broadband, that is throughout the whole Kenai Peninsula. There's the potential to millions, if not billions, to spread the broadband throughout our borough. We also have the mariculture, which is, if you're talking about that, what that has to do with is shellfish and doing some of those things. We have small operations right now, but there is about $50 million that KPED, the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District, which I am a board member of, has done a lot of work. Tim Dillon has done a ton of work to be able to get that to function and to get those grants for us. And so those are two big ones that I'm very interested in seeing going forward. And then independent power producers are also one that I'm very interested in seeing moving forward. Thank you.
Donald Boston, same question. Let's look down the road in the future a little bit here. What are the Kenai Peninsula Borough's biggest opportunities, and what do we do to help take advantage of those opportunities coming our way?
Well, I'd like to see Agrium get going, but that's not up to us, I guess. If we can get gas, that'd be a great thing. But tourism, I know, is huge down here, and just by being more tourism-friendly, can make a lot of money for the borough. I do agree with the broadband. That's a really, really good thing, and I hope that comes to life soon. But the area that we live in is such a beautiful place that we could make a lot of money on tourism.
Let's change subjects here. We'll stick with you, Don. What makes you stand out compared to your opponents? 90 seconds, please.
Well, you know, I don't know my opponent very well. But I know I was in business, self-made businessman for a lot of years, and I know I could represent the people that I talk to in our community very, very well, which is why I'm here. There are a lot of, you know, politicians out there that are well-polished, and I am not. I am not a politician. I'm just a businessman, and I think being a businessman in the assembly would be a good thing.
Same question, Tyson Cox. What makes you stand out compared to your opponent? 90 seconds.
Thank you. Well, what makes me stand out compared to my opponent is experience. I too am a businessman. I've owned my own business for the last 16 years. We've been very successful at it. Within the borough assembly, where my experience comes in is that I do know how the meetings run. I also know what information to get, who do I need to speak to within the borough. And so when we're talking about Sedona area specific, if there's something that Sedona wants, I'm able to have the best ability to get that done and to then make sure that I am giving that information to the other folks on the assembly at our meetings and through in our committees so that they too have all the information I have and that we will be able to have a vote that is representative of good information and not just coming in and not knowing what's happening. And so putting in the time is important. This is not just a twice a month job. I spend a lot of time at the borough talking to the employees and heads of committee or head of departments. It's important to talk to those people and to spend the time and to know who to go and talk to, and that's what I bring to.
And just like that, time flies, and it is flying by rapidly. An hour and a half of this evening's as election forums are already done. This is KSRM. It's 5:30. We're focusing on the race for Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly District 4 in Soldotna. We have in studio with us the incumbent running for re-election, Tyson Cox. And we also have the challenger running to unseat him, Donald Boston. A simple reminder, Tuesday, October the 4th, is the municipal election. This is the one, KSRM. It's 51 degrees. ABC News is next.
A path of destruction left across the Florida Peninsula while South Carolina is bracing for Hurricane Ian's next punch. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster telling people that now is the time to get ready as Ian is expected to make landfall near Charleston tomorrow.
Take care of your pets. Take your all your whatever medications, if you have to leave home for a while, take everything you're going to need with you.
Meanwhile, large parts of Florida remain underwater and dark as more than 2.6 million customers remain without power tonight. Rescue operations continue. Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis says crews are working hard to search destroyed neighborhoods.
First responders are doing targeted searches, just going home by home, checking to see if people are okay, and then responding to specific reports if they're missing loved ones.
He says there have been more than 700 rescues so far. At least 9 people confirmed dead, but officials say that number will likely rise. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Now, news of the Kenai in Alaska. Brought to you by Elite Auto and Diesel Repair. When your vehicle is acting trivial, call 262-2280.
In case you missed it, City Manager Paul Ostrander for Kenai announced he plans not to pursue a renewal of his employment contract with the city when it expires January 9th, 2023. Ostrander plans to continue work as the city manager till his next contract expires and assist in the smooth transition process. A discussion regarding the recruitment and selection process will be scheduled at the next regular city council meeting on October the 5th. Efforts began Wednesday to remove enough trees, rocks, and dirt to fill half a football field that were deposited in Alaska's capital by a landslide. The Monday evening slide began several hundred feet above Gastineau Avenue in Juneau, just above the city's business district. It was only stopped from continuing down the mountain toward downtown Juneau by a foam pole, guardrail, and a pickup that was destroyed. That's news of the Kenai in Alaska. I'm Anthony Moore.
When you got a project and you got a dig, whether with a shovel or a great big giant rig, be sure to get your locates by calling 811. You save time and money and you might just save someone.
Building a deck or fence? Instar reminds you to call 811 2 days before digging. Hitting your gas line could cost you more than $1,000. Calling 811 is free and required by law.
After 40-plus years of serving the community, Golden International will be closing this month. Their final day will be October 1st. The Hu family and all the staff at Golden International would like to say thank you for all the wonderful memories, and they hope that they get a chance to serve you again before closing their doors. Golden International is open Wednesday through Monday from 4 p.m. to 8:30 for takeout and dine-in. On Sundays, Golden International will be open at 12 noon for Sunday brunch. Come dine in with Golden International.
Didn't get the paving you wanted this year? Call Hot Rocks Asphalt Paving now and get on the schedule for next year. Spots are already filling up, so call today. Hot Rocks Asphalt Paving, 420-4729. Hot Rocks Asphalt Paving specializes in parking lots, private drives, parking pads. If you have something that needs paved, Hot Rocks Asphalt Paving can do the job. Call now to get your job on the schedule. 420-4729. Hot Rocks Asphalt Paving, 420-4729. Book now. Hot Rocks Asphalt Paving.
Upstairs at Beeman's, talking with Steve. Looking for sunglasses? Beeman's has them all upstairs for you.
Matt, we stock Oakley and Smith, Tafosi, and Gooder sunglasses. They start at $25 and go up from there. We have polarized, auto tinting, multiple lens models. We can also special order Oakleys for you. And hey, we have lots of other outdoor gear upstairs.
You'll find it upstairs at Beeman's, located on the Kenai Super Highway in Soldotna.
Now, your Kenai Soldotna weather outlook on the One KSRM. Brought to you by Smiles of Alaska, award-winning cosmetic and restorative dentistry, and sleep apnea treatment. 262-6466.
Expect showers tonight with a low around 42 degrees, southwest winds around 10. Scattered showers, slight chance on your Friday. Cloudy skies, high near 51. Outside the KSRM studio, it's 51 degrees.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2022 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
KSRM's continued coverage of Decision 2022. A good evening to you. It's 5:35, and we are rapidly moving through time, an hour and a half already gone, and we have just about 25 minutes left to go in this election forum. And this is for Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly District 4 in Soldotna. Like the other election forums we've had thus far on KSRM, this is going to be decided on Tuesday, October the 4th. So be sure to get out and vote. If you have any time constraints, you can obviously go and vote early, or you could just wait until Tuesday, October the 4th. But regardless, go out and vote. It is a right. It is your civic duty. And these people are going out of their way to seek your support and seeking to represent you. So we're joined in studio with incumbent Tyson Cox and challenger Donald Boston. Let us continue on and talking and discussing on issues pertaining to the Kenai Peninsula Borough. So we were talking a little bit earlier on opportunities down the road. So let's kind of flip the card. Biggest issues facing the Kenai Peninsula Borough. 90 seconds, Donald Boston, please.
Well, as always, you know, with most things, it's money. There's always a thin line between should we raise taxes or should we lower taxes or mill rates, and money's always a big one. Snow removal last year was brutal, and I mean it. There was a lot of snow, and so it really crunched into a lot of the money part of it. The price of fuel now is and inflation is a huge burden for everybody out there, and so I think that moving forward, we need to really take a look at the mill rates and everything and do our best to cut everything we can to keep from spending too much money, because right now we have a bit of a surplus. But I suspect that if we don't do some cuts and trim things down a little bit, it won't last long.
Same question, Tyson Cox. We talked about opportunities facing the Kenai Peninsula Borough before the break. Let's talk about the biggest issues that the Kenai Peninsula Borough is currently facing. 90 seconds, please.
Thank you. And so some of the big issues we're facing are the maintenance issues with our schools. Maintenance issues with our schools is probably one of the biggest things that we need to deal with. Last time I had seen, we had close to $200 million worth of deferred maintenance. We do need to tackle that. And it's going to be very difficult, because if we run the same as we ran this year, we had a negative budget this year. And we had an adjusted negative of $6 million. I believe Jesse Bjorkman had said it was 11. And I think after it's adjusted, it adjusts down to 6 after other items were put in there. Luckily, we were saved. We were saved by monies that came in from the state and from the feds. And so we're now looking at about $30 million in our savings. And so we have that right now. But if we get into a situation where this bond doesn't pass and we have items that have to be completed, we're going to dwindle that down very quickly. And the other problem we have with that is, as far as the schools go, we're having a hard time getting teachers here. The problem with that is we cannot go any higher on what we give the schools. We have funded to the cap this last year. We can't go higher than that. The way we could help diffuse some of that is to have a bond pass or to do some of the maintenance out of the borough's budget, because then they can use more of the budget that the school district has for teachers instead of doing some of these maintenance issues. So to reiterate, is I think our big one is deferred maintenance on our buildings, most of which are school buildings, but not all. There are some regular borough buildings that need maintenance as well.
And you brought it up, so let's go right onto that question now. Let's take a magnifying glass and pick apart the school bond issue that's set to go before voters. 90 seconds, Tyson Cox.
Yes, thank you. So the school bond issue, I've heard people talk about it. There's really three parts to that. The first part is more maintenance issue items. The two larger parts are going to be the Sedotna Prep renovation, which would be $18.5 million, and then the Sedotna Elementary reconstruction, which would be $21.5 million. There are people saying, well, that's not really doing maintenance. Well, in essence, most of that is, because redoing the school, we talked about it several different times. Sedotna Elementary is going to need some major work if we don't redo the school. So either way, we're going to be paying really close to $20 million. So the thought was to get a new school out of it and have more of a 40 to 50 year outlook. As far as moving the school district administration over to the prep house, which is the old Sedotna middle school, that's $18.5 million. But I need people to know that is not only for moving the school district. We are also putting the Montessori school over there and the Kenai River Academy. So there will be two other schools that will be within that old middle school, and that's where a lot of that cost is coming from, because to make it for those students and make it usable again, that's where that cost will be. Just putting in offices was not going to be the major part of that cost. Thank you.
Same question, Donald Boston. Position on the school bond issue that's also set to go before voters on the municipal election on Tuesday.
Well, I think he covered it pretty well, what the money's for, and I agree with pretty much all of it. It's necessary. We got to have our schools took care of, and moving forward, I think we should, you know, if we could keep up on the maintenance better, we'd save a lot of money in the end. So we need to really throw some money at it. As much as I hate the thought of spending money on anything, that is where it needs to be spent. And going forward, I think we need to spend a little more to get caught up with the maintenance and stay up with it. It's a lot better to stay up and current on the maintenance than it is to wait till it breaks down and go in there and try and fix a big mess.
Speaking of spending, let's stick with Don Boston for leading off this next question. Residents in Soldotna having a few other things that they're going to be voting on beyond just who's going to represent them for City Council and for Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly. So we'll start with this one because we might as well just ask both of them now. Don Boston, position on the CES Station Number 1 bond. Sorry about that. Go start over.
Oh, I'm sorry. I agree with that bond. Also, I think that they should probably put it where they want to put that field house that the city wants to build. The life you save, the life they save could be yours or mine. And I think of all the things besides the schools and their young children, I think safety is a huge, huge thing. And they need the new fire station.
Tyson Cox, same question. Position on the CES Station Number 1 bond. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure that the last time it went before voters, it was voted down. So what's going to happen this time around? Your position on the CES Station Number 1 bond.
Yes, the Station Number 1 bond is needed. I hope that people vote yes. We have a fire station right now where we have people sleeping on the floor on mattresses. And we have no area for our women employees. And so that's only a couple of the items. One of the other big items is that there is no room to work on the engines. They have to actually open the doors, even in the wintertime, to work on the engines. And then I wanted to talk a little bit about the placement of the building. The building right now is being planned to be on the Foster's property behind Wells Fargo Bank in Soldotna. I think it would be a poor idea to put it where they're looking for to put the field house, because that is actually on city land, and that is over by in the K Beach area. And what that would change significantly is that 5-mile radius for people's insurance. By moving the fire station just to this location, you're going to affect a minimal amount of people because it's less than a block move, and so most people will not see an adjustment on their insurance rating because of that 5-mile distance.
So let us just kind of stick with other issues that are going to be on the ballot for residents in Soldotna. And you brought it up, so let's talk about it. Soldotna Fieldhouse. Tyson Cox, 90 seconds, please.
Yes, I am in support of the Soldotna Fieldhouse. As a resident of Soldotna, I think it's something that will benefit people not only in Soldotna, but outside of Soldotna. What I've been talking to a lot of people about that live outside of Soldotna is, if it's interest to you, is talk to those folks, because generally what happens is Fred Meyer is the big source of revenue for Soldotna. And so having that source of revenue, all that's ever done for everybody is take my property tax and make it lower. This is one way for people who live outside of the city to get a great benefit of their tax dollars in a facility that they can also go and use equally with those who live in the city. Because as I heard this morning, there will be no extra cost for anyone. If you're from the city or not from the city, all costs will be minimal, and they will be the same for anyone who goes to use that facility. And it's open to any resident on the Kenai Peninsula, and I believe anybody that just wants to use it can come in and use it, even if you're not a resident of the peninsula.
Don Boston, same question. Position on the Soldotna Fieldhouse.
I'm 100% against it. I think that it's absolute waste of money. I think that there's a sports arena right next door, or real close to it, that sits empty most of the time, that we can barely afford, apparently, maintenance on our buildings. And so we're doing maintenance on that building, and we're paying heat on that building all the time. And I don't think we need another building to compete with that one, or the gyms around town, you know, put them out of business. I think that it's just a bad idea to spend a bunch of money right now when here we are talking about trying to build schools and stuff, and to spend money on that, I think, is just foolishness.
We'll stick with Don Boston for this next question. It was brought up recently in some of the answers that both of you have brought up. So let's talk about business and economic development and the Kenai Peninsula Borough's role in that. Don Boston, 90 seconds.
Well, the small business is always, I think, the best business. So, you know, I was talking to Tim Dillon. He was a great guy, and he was telling me that there are a lot of opportunities for small business, and I was going to get with him. But I'm not elected yet, but if I do, I'm going to work towards helping small businesses versus big businesses, and big businesses are pretty good at taking care of themselves. And so I think it's the small businesses that need our help.
Same question, Tyson Cox, business and economic development, Kenai Peninsula Borough's role.
Yes, I think we do have a role in helping with the economic development. That would be in maybe something like we've done with the tax incentives for independent power producers. I think that's a good way to roll us forward and to give someone an incentive to do things on a small business side so that they can come in and they can actually do it without us having a whole bunch of risk. The other thing I wanted to mention is I was the one on our budget this last year who brought forward a $50,000 increase, so from $100,000 to $150,000 for KPED, the Kenai Peninsula Economic District Development District, to get $150,000 out of our budget rather than $100,000. And with the projects we have coming forward, I think that was a well-spent $150,000. And then we also, for small businesses, we have the small business office out here on K Beach. And we also went from 100 to 125. And I also brought that amendment forward because those are two large ways that we can spend what I would consider a small amount of our budget to give people a big bang for the buck. Because anyone can go to either of those folks and you get the services there for free. So these are free services that everyone can get so they can get some help, either like setting up an LLC or just some advice on whether they should buy a business, where they might be able to get grants. And KPED also has grant programs for folks. So these are two great resources that are for our small businesses, which are what make our area run.
This is KSRM 920 AM, and we are talking and focusing on the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly District 4 in Soldotna. We're joined in studio incumbent Tyson Cox and challenger Donald Boston lobbying for your support. The municipal election is going to, again, be decided on Tuesday, October the 4th, so be sure to get out and vote if you've not done so already. Let's talk taxes. It's on the minds of many. Is the tax rate too high? Is it too low? How should the borough manage ever-increasing costs with its adopted FY23 budget? And, well, subsequently, winter is almost here, and I know that come springtime, we're going to be working on the next FY budget, FY24. So we'll start with Tyson Cox. Let's talk about the tax rate and increasing costs with the adopted budget.
Yes, thank you. So this year we did decrease our the full borough mill rate from 4.7 to 4.5. We went down 0.2 mills. And I do think that's a smart move. It's very reflective in what we should do is as inflation happens on property, we end up having an increase without increasing the sales tax or the property tax. And so what you have to look at is we still saw, I want to say somewhere around an $800,000 increase, even by decreasing a 0.2 mil rate on our property tax. Now with that, we have to be very careful because if inflation is happening, that means the goods and services we use also have inflation. And so we have to be very careful to balance that. I very much take the opinion of our finance director, Brandy Harbaugh. She does a good job with that. And we're able to then go into it. And like next year, if there's a reason that we need to fluctuate a little bit, my goal would be is that we stay small and be able to fluctuate with the needs of the borough. We do have a $30 million surplus at this time. But if we are going to need to use some of that for maintenance, that will dwindle very quickly. And so we need to be very careful on where we're at. I do not see, though, we have a projected for the next 3 years that we do not need to increase that property mill rate for the next 3 years.
Don Boston, same question. Taxes on the minds of many. Is the tax rate too high? Is it too low? How should the borough manage ever-increasing costs with its FY23 budget?
Well, I have not seen all the numbers. I was in Charlie Pierce's office about a month ago or so, and we looked the numbers over, and they look pretty good for the forecast. So, you know, I think taxes and everything is a fluid. It's a fluid number. You just never really know what's coming down the pike, and so you have to watch it as close as you can. But I am a firm believer in spend as little as possible and tax as little as possible. So, you know, there's thin lines between services and taxes, and that line is always going to be moving, and we'll do my best to keep the taxes as low as we can without sacrificing too much. And it's like the services that we have, most of them are very, very necessary. And so, you know, if you have to raise taxes, it would be a horrible thing, in my opinion. But if that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. But what I can see, from what I can see, it looks pretty good on the horizon, but time will tell.
Let's talk about goals and aspirations and what it is that you would like to accomplish if you're elected. Don Boston, if you're elected, what would you like to accomplish? List what your accomplishments would like to be.
Well, you know, I don't have any big aspirations. I just want to serve for a few years and pay back the community that's been so good to me. I was asked to do this, and I really, really believe that I would be a good representative for the people. And I think that, you know, I'm more conservative than most people on the assembly, and I think that it would help balance out a little bit as far as my aspirations are. I just really, really just want to do some good for the community.
Tyson Cox, same question. If you're reelected, what would you like your accomplishments to be? What it is that you would like to work on if you're reelected?
Thank you for the question. We've already touched on this a little bit in some of the other questions I've answered. And what I would like to work on is getting down the amount of deferred maintenance we have on our borough buildings. I think it's huge. I think it's something that we need to try and tackle. We cannot have this keep looming over us as a cost that we are going to have to pay at some point. What I'm afraid of is if we have to pay it all at one time. If we have to do that, we're going to be in a whole bunch of trouble. And so what I'm suggesting is that we do create a larger fund specifically for that, kind of like what the hospital has with their replacement fund, do something like that for our borough buildings so that we have the ability to do that. The other thing that I would like to work on, and I've already started talking to people, is since what happened out in Nikiski where there was a young man that killed his mother, I actually have talked to people, and whether I'm in the office or not, I'm going to set up that they can come in and have a 10-minute time to start talking about mental illness and mental illness in our community. It's a big deal. There are resources, but most people don't know what they are. That's one of the things that I would like to bring forward so that we can at least have that in the forefront so that people know we have mental illness in the area and how can we help those folks.
Thank you, Tyson Cox. Let's change subjects here as we're beginning to wrap down the hour. Let's talk about residents of the Kenai Peninsula Borough. Life is a little bit different if you live in a city or a municipality versus those who live out in unincorporated regions of the Kenai Peninsula. So, should the Kenai Peninsula receive more representation? There's currently 9 assembly members. Some folks have discussed making it 11. What is your position on that, Tyson Cox?
Thank you. So the positive to going to 11 would be the potential to have less people in each district, which would mean that you would have a little bit more representation if the person that represents you picks up the phone, which not all representatives always do. And it would be slight. It would be less than 1,000 people per area that would be different. With 9, we would stay pretty close to the same. The boundaries would change slightly. But the biggest part is we would not have the additional cost. So there's the additional cost that would be upwards of $72,000 a year for the assembly and up to about $60,000 a year for the school board to add those folks. Now, the other problem to going with 11, and nobody's really talking about this, is that if we do go to 11, that is redistrict for the whole area, which means now next fall we have 11 people to be reelected, and then they would stagger their due dates kind of like they're doing with the legislature on when their next election would come. And so that will be a difficult time too. That would add cost on that side to the next election. I personally am in favor of keeping it at 9. The districts are not changing to where we'll be malapportioned. They will change only slightly. And so that is also the recommendation of the working group that put this together. The only reason they offered 2 options was because if you only option is 9 and you say, would you like 9, yes or no? If the vote comes out no, then we're malapportioned, and that would be illegal.
Same question, Don Boston. 9 assembly members, 11 assembly members.
Well, you know, I saw that on the ballot when I went to vote, and I asked quite a few people that walked into my office what their thoughts on it, and nine seems to be working pretty well. There are pros and cons to everything, but the extra time and the money and there is not worth making it 11, I don't think. I think it could be looked at as we grow. We might need to, you know, re-examine it, but as for now, I think 9's a good number.
Let us go straight to closing statements. 1 minute closing statement. Don Boston, we'll begin with you. 1 minute closing statement, sir.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for listening today, and make sure you get out and vote October 4th. Thank you for the radio station, and it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and it's a good day to get out and vote early. So, thank you very much.
1 minute closing statement, Tyson Cox.
Thank you. So, my name is Tyson Cox. I will be running for re-election. I just want you to remember that I do have the experience. I've been in this seat for 3 years. I am very confident that I would be able to represent Sedona area very well. Also, is I just want to remind people that I do believe in only running a clean campaign. That means no negativity. I will not be saying anything negative about the other person running. And I just want people to know that, because it's not just the how you get there. How you get there defines who you are when you get there. So a clean campaign is very important because it shows who you are. And anyone who would like to call and talk to me about anything, please give me a call at 907-252-4814 and vote Tyson Cox on Tuesday.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking the time out of your busy campaign schedules to stop by the studios of KSRM. I want to, on behalf of all of the employees and all of the staff here, as well as all of the listeners, especially thank you for appearing this evening for the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly KSRM Election Candidate Forum, focusing on District 4 in Soldotna. So that's going to be Tyson Cox, the incumbent, challenger Donald Boston, as we had last hour.
KSRM, Soldotna on 920 AM and translating on K22 3DG Soldotna at 92.5 FM.
So that's technically supposed to go off in 60 seconds from now. That being said, also on the agenda we had last hour, Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly District 3 in Nikiski. That race, incumbent Jesse Bjorkman, challenger Dill Yulin, challenger Chase Griffith. And the municipal elections going to be decided coming up on Tuesday, October the 4th. Last but certainly not least, in case you tuned in or you missed any of the election forums that we had here on KSRM, that includes the Kenai City Council ones we had back on Tuesday. You can log online to RadioKenai.com, look at the podcasts, and the Kenai City Council ones were 4 and 5 p.m. Tuesday, and the Borough Assembly ones 4 and 5 p.m. again this evening. It is 51 degrees. This is the one KSRM Soldotna Kenai Homer. We'll see you again for the morning update at 6.